This is a part two from about a month ago. It's the way that this has worked out. I started a sermon series, Sowing Seeds of Spiritual Maturity, and then part two got flooded out, and then I took a vacation, and then Mother's Day was last week. So a month later, we're picking up part two, all right? But I'm going to review the law of reaping and sowing, just so that you understand that the things that we do in our lives, we are actually planting seeds. And I need you to just take that to heart today, because the way that you act in your homes and the way that you talk to each other are planting seeds. And the way that we love each other, or the lack of love that we show each other, the forgiveness that we give, or the lack of forgiveness that we're able to give, that's all planting seeds of all types. And so what this series is designed to do is to open your eyes to the things that are going on in your life, in the way that you apply God's words, or that we misapply, or that we don't apply God's word in our lives, and the crop that comes forth because of those seeds that we plant. And this is a law. You can take this to the bank. God will not be mocked. The things that you do in your lives, you are sowing seeds, and whatever seeds you sow, that will be the fruit that you bear. And if you're capable of showing forgiveness inside of your homes, then wow, what seeds of spiritual maturity that you are sowing. And if you're able to come together as a family and to work things out in love and in order and to do it appropriately the way that the Bible guides and directs and declares us to do, then we are sowing seeds of spiritual maturity. And we as young, am I still young? I can't remember or not. Okay. Someone told me I was middle-aged, and I got offended. And they said, well, how old are you? I said, 43. And they said, well, how old are you going to live? I was like, I think middle-aged was a long time ago. Okay. But for those of us who have young kids in our homes, and that's grandparents too, and that's aunt and uncles. I mean, I just be honest with you, my uncles were influential in my life. And the way that they lived affected me. And you think about the prime, fertile soil that we have amongst us and the opportunities that we have and that we miss. We just have great opportunities to sow seeds of maturity. And it's time to take advantage of those. And the Bible calls us to do certain things. And today's, I'm just going to prepare you, today's talk is going to be about love. And, you know, I talk about love a lot. I do, okay? But today's kind of a tough talk about love. Because we are commanded to love. But that love is thrown to us in theory, and then we have to take that theory and put it into application. And when we realize the love that was applied to us, in the way that it was applied to us, and what that love means to us on a personal level, and once we fully understand what that love was and is, and what it means to us on a personal level, then that is sowing seeds of spiritual maturity, which should come out in the understanding of the theory that the Bible throws out to us, and be able to allow us and to drive us to show it in application in our lives. Okay, so let's look here. Philippians 1, this is my text this morning. It says, in this I pray that your love may abound still more and more, and it may be grounded in knowledge with all discernment and understanding. And we know after reading and studying the Bible that only true spiritual discernment comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let me throw something out to you this morning, okay? So if you're not on speaking terms with the Holy Spirit, that's a dangerous place to be, okay? And here's the other thing, is that if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't get spiritual discernment. It's the end of the story. Until you accept Him and until the Holy Spirit resides inside of you, you will not attain spiritual discernment. That cannot happen. That's another law. The law of spiritual discernment. The world sees what we do and they look at it and they say, that doesn't make sense. And we see in what the Lord is asking us to do, and we see it and say, that makes total sense. Because we have spiritual discernment. And it says that you may approve the things that are excellent. So the things that God, and the opportunities that God places into your life, you can look at those and say, yes, that's good. And I will do that. It doesn't make sense. It's not according to my plan. But with spiritual discernment, we can look at it and say, yes, I'm ready to do that. And that is excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, till he comes back, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, the fruit of spirits. And what's the first one listed? Love, which are by Jesus Christ, the glory and praise of God. Okay? So this is the commandment. This is the process that God has designed for us. And if you see there, that word right there, our lives need to be built on prayer. This stuff does not just come naturally. And if I say this every week, this is one of those things, if you don't hear much of what I say, this is what you need to hear, that the first thing you're supposed to do as a Christian when you wake up is to what? Pray the prayer of emptying. Empty me of all the ugliness that resides inside of me, my natural state. Empty me of that. Make me an empty vessel. And then now I'm perfect to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives me strength. It gives me courage. It gives me discernment. It gives me edification. It builds me up when the world's tearing me down. It allows me to look at things that the world says no, that I can say yes, that is excellent. And let's just get it straight. Love is the greatest. That's not my words. That's the Bible. It says, now abide faith, hope, and love. Those are all important, right? But the greatest of these three is love. So the Bible lays it out pretty clear, is that love needs to be our starting point. And everything that we do, love needs to be our starting point. And I'm going to show you that our salvation, the starting point was love. So everything that we have built our salvation on is built from the starting point of love. So we can take what that understanding and that our salvation is built upon love, and knowing that we build a house on the rock, not on the sand, then it is our understanding that everything that we build in this life should be built on from the starting point of love. Otherwise, it's not good. Because what is the, don't you want to start with the greatest? Don't you want your building material to be the greatest? Well, the Bible lays it out pretty clear. What is the greatest? Love. Love is the greatest. And it says there, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. This is the commandment from Jesus Christ. This is quotation marks because this is coming out of Jesus Christ's mouth. This is his commandment, is that the two greatest commandments are these. Okay, the first one is love. Your starting point should be love and love of God. We talked about that. We touched on that last week. Remember when the lady was running? And Elisha looks at her and says, hey, there's the mother running to me. Go ask her, how is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your children or your child? Okay, remember that? Biblical priorities coming out. My Uncle Larry is my Sunday school, I don't know where he is. My Uncle Larry is my Sunday school teacher when I was in high school. And this is something that always stuck with me. This is what he said. If this relationship's not right, none of these can be. And you know that to be true, is that if you're not walking well with God, it comes out, your kids get on your nerves, your wife's voice hits that octave for some reason that makes your eye do that. Okay? Everything's too loud. Your temper's short. Huh? It's just the way it works, right? Because this has to be at peace if you're ever going to have peace down here. Boy, that's the gospel right there. Okay? So your kids are not, it doesn't even sound right as a dad to say this. Your kids don't, they're not your first priority, biblically speaking. Your relationship with God is number one. You can't properly love your husband, your wife, or your children unless you are in proper state with God. That's just the honest truth right there. And it says that right here. But the first commandment is this: get it right with God. Love him with everything you got. And then the other one is, love everybody else the same way. Pretty simple, right? That's theory. That's put in theory, boy, we sign up for that every time. It's the application that gets a little bit hard. God asks us to do some things, okay? Some things don't go right in our lives. Sometimes we actually get mad at God. Then we get mad at ourselves because we're mad at God. And then we get mad at everybody else because we're mad at ourselves, and we're mad at ourselves because we're mad at God. And then next thing you know, we're just not nice to be around, okay? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Again, this is a direct quote taken from Jesus himself. And what kind of love are we talking about? Well, greater love has never reached this point than to lay down your life for your friends. What's the Bible say? Anybody would die for someone good, right? But to die for someone who's not good, that's a whole nother different kind of love. That's the level we're talking about. Remember, Jesus took the law and then put it up here. Oh yeah, you don't step out on your spouse. Well, if you look at someone else with lustful eyes, you've just committed adultery. Well, that's not fair. Well, that's just the way it is. Okay? You want to love, you think you can love somebody? Lay down your life for someone who doesn't deserve it and that you don't like. Love someone that much. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what the master is doing. Boy, this is important right here. Sometimes as employees, we're not allowed to understand the greater picture of what's going on. But the boss has the ideas, and he knows the will. And sometimes as servants, they're not told the complete picture. But boy, when you're no longer a servant and you get brought up a level, then you're told the strategy. And guess what? Guess why you are included in the strategy. Before, you weren't at a level to where you needed to be included in the strategy because you didn't matter for the strategy to be operated. But once you get lifted to a level of like a disciple, now you need to understand the strategy. And why is that? Well, the understanding here is that in order for the strategy to get fulfilled, you have to do your part. That's what's going on here. That's what he's saying here. You know, before we let you get by with stuff because, you know, you weren't at a level to where you were needed. You know, we just woke you up for the important meetings. Now you're at such a level to where you have to understand what the will is and what the strategy is, because without your actions, our strategy won't be fulfilled to the optimal level. That's where each and every one of us are if we are true disciples of Christ. Now, understand that. We're at least middle management. So now you are included in the strategy, because for the strategy to work, you have to do your part. And guess what your first number one priority in your job is to do? Love. And love at a level that is Christ-like. Woo! That's good stuff there. I need a couple, come on, I need some more amens on that. Man, that's good. But I've called you friends. For all things I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. See how that works? The CEO told the boss. Now the boss is telling us. And we have to sign up, and we have to get in, and we have to play our part so that the strategy gets done to the optimal level. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If you want to make an impact in this world, you don't have to have any kind of identifying mark on your clothing, no birthmark like the mark of Cain or anything like that. You know how the world will identify Christians? With love. With love. And you know what? That's getting muddled lately. Just speak to you honestly. Just speak to you bluntly. That's getting muddled. Our love comes with conditions now. It does. If you perform a certain kind of sin, nope, we can't love that group anymore. We gotta ostracize them. They're gone. Okay? Or if you're in some certain kind of state, nope, can't love them now. You know what God's telling you? I died for the worst of these. And that's the way you're supposed to love too. And I'm telling you this because your participation is vital. And you're at a level to where you need to be included in making sure that the strategy gets pulled off. That's where we're at. And if you want to look around, let's just be honest. What's the old saying? Before you start looking into your neighbor's yard, maybe you might want to clean up your own yard. Before we start blaming everybody else, the church might want to look in its own yard and say, wonder why we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Huh? Maybe we're not doing what the Lord has commanded us to do. And what the Lord has commanded us to do, first and foremost, from the very beginning, is to start from love. And ask yourself this, do you start from love? Or is it about self, self-preservation, self-pride, self-this, contentment, self-happiness, self-serving? Remember, the Bible uses that word flesh all the time. Anytime you see flesh in the New Testament, just insert self. You get the same thing right there. We are self-serving people. When's the last time anybody went and, I don't know, I haven't been in a gas station to pay for gas for years. And if I have to go in there, I get mad because it won't take my card. Huh? You ever had one of those hand towel operators not work for you? You look like a maniac. Like, why won't this thing work? You mean I got to twist the knob myself? Lord, have mercy. What's this world coming to? It's how we are, right? You mean I got to go in the store to pay for my gas? Goodness gracious. Okay? But if you want the world, if you want to impact the world around you, start from love. And you will impact them. Man, I take my word for it. It's in the Bible. The world will identify you with your love. And then, now remember, I talk about two sides of a coin. There's another side to this coin. The world will not identify you from your lack of love. You get that? So here's a theory. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Okay? So that's we've established that, right? So if you want to be identified as someone, so ask yourself this. This is kind of a self-check here. This is the theory. If you are a Christian, you are capable of starting and showing love. Period. Period. Okay? Period. No conditions. No ostracizing certain sins or certain segments of the economy or anything like that, okay? You are capable of showing love. That's just the end of it. So ask yourself that, okay? That's what we're called to do. That's the commandment. If I can go, I can go back and do slides all day if you want me to. But that's what we're commanded to do, to love at that level. Anybody can die for a good guy. It takes someone special to really die for someone who doesn't deserve it, okay? And if you want to self-check yourself, if God is living in you, brought to you through the Holy Spirit, then you are capable of showing love. And he who does not have love in you, you need to self-check yourself, because the way that this works is that if the Holy Spirit lives in you, love resides in you. Because God is love. And this is the love that God manifested towards us. Okay? And how was it manifested in us? He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when we accept salvation, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. And when the Holy Spirit's there, guess who he comes with? Because he's three in one. God the Father and God the Son are there as well. And if God the Father is in you, then love is there because God is love. And if you are in a healthy state in your spirit, you're capable of showing love because you have the Holy Spirit in you who brings God the Father with him who is love. Got the theory? Clear enough? In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live through us. And that's what we just talked about. Every morning, your job is to pray the prayer of emptying, to say, you know what, empty me of me and allow Jesus Christ to live through me and let me bloom the fruit of the Spirit off of me so that people can feast off of me and come into contact with Jesus Christ in the first person as he lives through me. That's all done and starts from love. Love is the fuel. Love is the starting point. That's how that works. Love. But let me show you this, okay? Because when we talk about love and about how God manifested his love towards us, now we've been talking about the process of salvation, the ability to allow and invite Jesus Christ to come live in us. And the way that that happens is God sends the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit, directs him. He lives in us, takes up residence in us, just like I said. And now God the Son and God the Father comes with him. They all live inside of us. Okay? Now listen, this is where the application starts to hit. Because it says here, because what we end up saying all the time is that God's love provides me salvation. Isn't that right? Isn't that what we say? That God's love provides me salvation. Now, that is correct. But I need to get just a touch technical with you for a second. Because this is important. I'm making a very important point here. So don't turn me off. But here's the important part. Is that we see here in Ephesians that he brings in a technicality here. All right? Because technically, our salvation is brought by love. Our salvation is not from love. God can't love us so much that he gives us salvation. He can. He did. That's what he did, all right? But he doesn't love us at some point to where he loves us enough and then salvation comes in. That would be like him opening up the back door of heaven and letting us come in this way. And that's not what is happening. Now, does he give us salvation because of his love for us? Yes, absolutely. Don't mishear me. But our salvation, the starting point is love. And it says there, but God, who is rich in mercy, okay, he has great mercy for us. And he has amazing, what we just sang about, the amazing love. And because of his great, amazing love, which he loved us. Now, what does that mean? Which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses. So what this means is that when we were sinners, God has so much mercy for us, and he loves us so much that he gave his son who died on the cross for us. That's got to be in there. Okay? Woo! I'm going to say it again, all right? I don't know if it landed on you. Okay? God loves us. He is love. Without him, there is no such thing as love. And he loves us so much. And he has mercy for us. And he loves us so, so much. Perfect love for us. And that perfect love allowed him to send his son who died on the cross in our place, which gives us salvation. Because the other way, we remove Jesus out of the equation. Cannot do that. You can't take Calvary. There is no such thing as salvation without the cross. Doesn't happen. And we've kind of whitewashed it a little bit. And we kind of say, well, God so loved the world. Yes, God so loved the world, but there's another part to that. He gave his only begotten son to die for us. You see what's happening there? He has love for us, but his love was taken from theory and put into application. And how did that happen? He loves us so much that he gave Jesus Christ to die for us. The application part of it. So what does that mean? It means that our love just can't be in theory alone. It has to have application to it because we are made in the image of God. So we clear on that? Yeah, God loves us so much that he gave us salvation. Yes, and our salvation is built upon and starts from love. But we can't whitewash this and make it all pretty to where we remove Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. You can't do that. You can't pull Jesus out of it. Jesus has to be in the middle of it. That's how much God loves each and every one of us, to send the best. Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, to die on the cross for us. That's it, right there. Faith got you there, but even faith isn't something that you did. It's a gift from God. Okay? And in this love, not that we loved God and we deserved it, but that he loved us, and this is what it's saying right here. All that took me 20 minutes to say it. Takes the Bible two verses to say it. He loves us so much that he sent his son, that fancy word propitiation, the sacrifice, the atonement, instead of for our sins. Beloved, if God loves us, we should... If God loves us that much, can't we find some kind of love to love people that we don't really like? I mean, if you can accept that kind of love, can't you find it in your heart to love your neighbor? Shouldn't we be able to do that? Love must be pure. Love must be pure. Without hypocrisy, without evilness, cling to what is good. You know what this means? Don't be self-serving. Don't have your love have conditions. Don't be self-serving. Don't put restrictions on it. Don't draw red lines on it. What I'm saying to you today is that you will never find a red line in God's love for you. He didn't withhold the best from us. His love was pure, and he followed through with it. His love was pure. Make a prayer that you can love and love purely. Love is patient, kind, and it has a purpose. I beseech you, I urge you, I strongly command you to walk worthy of the calling to which you were called. Be humble, long-suffering. You know, long-suffering is a great word. It's the old-time word for patience. You know what it actually means? The actual word which they translate into long-suffering is long-burning. It's not, the actual translation is not long-suffering. That's the old English word that we insert for patience. We call it patience now, like used to call charity love, or, you know, now we call it love, charity. Used to be long-suffering, we call it patience. The actual translation is long-burning. You know what that means? Your wick was long. You ever met someone who's, you ever been out back with the fireworks and you got the one wick's about that long? And your logical mind saying, don't light that. But then the little six-year-old kid is like, light it. Let's see what this does. And guess what? Oh, Aaron does. Lights it. Okay? Long burning. Isn't that great? Long burning. Have a wick that's long. Not that quick wick. Okay? Patience. Be filled with patience. And it says there, with gentleness, bearing one another in love. We're commanded to bear one another in love. That should happen. That should be the epitome that should be happening inside of our Christian families and church. We should be the example for everybody else. And why do we do that? Because we have to keep the unity of the Spirit. You want to know what the greatest thing said about the first church was? They were in one accord. Remember what it said? They were bound. They were woven together. Tighter in a lock, stronger than death. And who's stronger than death? Jesus Christ. So our love has a purpose. It should be pure. It has to have a purpose. And it's so that we can get along and we can go about and do the work that we're called to do. And we can truly love one another. We can have all, if you have Jesus Christ living through you, the Holy Spirit residing in you, then you should have the fruit of the spirits. And that's what they are, humbleness. Long-suffering, patience, bearing one another in love. It has a purpose. Love should reflect maturity. Ask yourself this thing. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, do you reflect these? Do you clothe yourself in these? This is what it's saying. Okay? When it says put on, it means when you get up in the morning, do you dress yourself in this is your outfit? Your outfit is made of mercies. Are you capable of providing mercies? Are you kind to people? Are you humble? Are you meek? Do you have patience? Are you able to bear one another? Here's the other one. Are you able to forgive people? If you have a complaint against someone, forgive them and be able to go to somebody and say, I was wrong, I'm sorry. But above all things, what should all the outer coat be? Love. And what about love? It is the bond of perfection. Right there. Love is the bond of perfection. You want your families to stay together? I got a bonding agent. that will hold it forever. Christian love. You want our church to come together and truly come together? Let's be bound by love. Huh? You want a friendship tighter than anything could ever come into it? Be bound by Christian love. The Lord will increase and abound in love. We want to make an impact. We want our footprint to be bigger. We want to make a greater impact. We want to make, and what I mean by greater impacts, I just don't mean filling the house up. I mean making an impact where lives are changed, to where we go out and change lives. Huh? I love each and every one of you. I love coming here and preaching to you and talking to you. Okay? The highest calling I could ever accept in my life, other than being a husband and a dad. Okay? But I want you to know that it's a different sermon when there are unsaved people here. It's a different sermon. And when people's last Sunday, when we get to baptize people, amen and amen. Okay? And when people come to know Jesus, that is our purpose. That's why we exist here. And all of that gets accomplished through love. The very thing that our salvation is built upon and started from is love. So I'm asking you to stand this morning. Now, I've thrown a lot at you. But I want you to understand that if you want to make an impact in this world as an individual, as a family, or as a church, then we have to start from love. And you need to get it straight today that we are not highly suggested to love. We are not told a story that will drive us to love. We are commanded to love and to love at the highest level.
Amen. Amen.
Where no one else can do it, that's where we're asked to love. And our very own salvation is brought to us by love. So I want you to look inside of yourself this morning and ask yourself, am I okay? Am I doing what the Lord has commanded me to do? Is my family held together by Christian love? Is this church held together by Christian love? Are we making an impact? Are we making the impact that we're called to be? Am I capable of loving? And that love shows forgiveness and drives me to forgive those and love those. Ask yourself this morning. I'm going to open up the altars to you.